Good morning, church. Man, it feels like it's been a long time since I've been able to say that. Been gone for a couple Sundays, and it is great to see you here on this special day where, as you know, we are headed towards the baptism and watching 10 young people share their faith and the way that they understand and wanting to follow Jesus and then just following through with the baptism. So we're excited for that. I want you to know how grateful I am for this church. I am grateful to be a part of the staff that's here at this church and just to work with them. And I'm grateful that the church has this humble and really prayerful leadership team that is just seeking God and wanting to guide the church and in God's direction. I'm grateful that the church allowed me to have two Sundays off where we attended. First, we attended Zach's college graduation in Arkansas. Luke will be sporting his new Arkansas hat. And then last weekend, we got to attend Kelly's sister's wedding. So two very important family events that we are a part of. And that is special to be able to do that. I am grateful that this church is full of just skillful speakers and teachers and volunteers and people that just invest in the church. And people are just available and willing and able to do that. So I'm thankful for Aaron and for Clint and sharing the word as we were out on those. I'm grateful for a church that really is seeking to invest in the community. And by God's grace, hopefully will be a blessing next Sunday as we worship in a different form and in terms of like working and seeking just to spread out throughout our community and bless by God's grace the community. And then I'm grateful to be able to be a part of watching God work in people's lives. And today we have 10 young children, elementary kids, that are going to share their faith, and eventually they'll be standing right here, and they've each prepared a sentence about what Jesus means and why they want to be baptized. And so I'm grateful that we, get to watch, what God is just doing in lives and in the lives of the young people that we're going to see today. So I'm grateful. Grateful for you being here. You being here online as well. So thank you. Last week, Aaron took us through the first 7 verses of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And so I'd like to pick up at verse 7 and go through verse 14 of that same chapter. And so we are in a study of the Gospel of John, and we are up to chapter 14. So if you have Bibles with you this morning, if you want to grab one of the Bibles in the front pockets in front of you and find John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 7 through 14. And pray, and then dive into those verses. Starting in verse 10, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him." Well, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long? And you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. God, thank you for Scripture. Thank you that you breathe these words forth through those that began to write them down through the Holy Spirit. We know them to be truth. We believe them to be your words. We pray, God, that you, through your Holy Spirit, would grant us, you know, the understanding that we need to have this morning on what you were teaching here, Jesus, to your disciples and what you're teaching to us as well. We're thankful for all the words that John recorded and these words as well. So open up our ears, open up our hearts, open up our minds so that we can behold what it is that you have for us this morning. And we pray that we will be different by having been together in this place, but also because your word, you know, penetrates our hearts. So thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus oftentimes asks some very piercing questions. And they're not only just piercing to those that he is asking the question to, but they're even piercing to us as we ponder, you know, Jesus asking us some of those very same questions. I mean, here's some of the questions that we've come across so far in the Gospel of John. You know, one of them was to Andrew and another one of his disciples. This was at a time that they were on the fringe. They weren't really fully following Jesus at this time. They were just on the fringe. And Jesus turns to them and he sees them following and says, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" And that may be something that Jesus is asking you this morning. You may be one of the people that are on the fringe. You're kind of looking in. Don't quite know about this Jesus. And Jesus may be asking you that same piercing question. You know, what are you seeking? What do you want? What are you looking for? One of them we came across was Nicodemus. And this is a question about understanding, not just understanding, but really a question about believing Jesus' words. And so this is what Jesus asked Nicodemus. He says, "If I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe it if I tell you heavenly things?" And perhaps that's a question that Jesus is asking us. You know, do you really believe my words? I'll tell you earthly things, but I'm also going to tell you spiritual things, important things, heavenly things. And will you believe those? Question to the disciples. When some of them were just being offended by Jesus' teaching and they were walking away. And so Jesus asked them there. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Well, that's a piercing question. And if we ponder, Jesus asks, "Do you want to go away?" No, we don't want to go away. So what's going on in our life? And then the question to Peter, which we'll eventually get to in John 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I don't know what these would be in your life, but that question happens. Do you love me more than these? More than these. Those are piercing questions. And we come to this scene and with Philip. So Jesus has just said, Jesus has just said, "From now on, you know the Father, you've seen the Father." And Philip asks, says, "Well, Jesus, just show us the Father, and that's going to be good." And then here comes Jesus in verse 9, and he says to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip?" Maybe Jesus would be asking you, "Have you, claimed to be a believer so long in your life, but you still don't know me, or you've been a member of this church for this many years and you still don't know me, or have you been attending Bible study and home group and you attend worship service, but you still don't know me?" Man, that's a piercing question that goes, straight into the heart of Philip, but straight into the heart of us. It's a question about knowing Jesus, knowing Jesus. Now, we love to know about things. I mean, Aaron was the one that, shared with us in our Western culture, we value information, we value knowledge. And that's a good thing. And we kind of, you know, strive to know, and we love to know about. And so we know about Jesus. We love to know about. So Kelly, just a couple of weeks ago, Kelly, my wife, joined the staff of this church and was a part of her first staff meeting. As Julie retired, Kelly took on this interim role of just leading the early children, childhood, preschool ministry. I just butchered the title. I don't know what the title is, but that's what she's doing right now. And so we had a little get-to-know Kelly activity. And in this, she would answer some, you know, would you rather questions, and then she'd also answer some questions that had a little bit more, you know, depth to them. And as she's answering the would you rather questions, I'm kind of clicking off in my mind, you know, what I felt I knew Kelly would answer because I know Kelly. And so I was doing pretty good. You know, would you rather, you know, be 2 minutes late or 20 minutes early? Kelly loves to be punctual, and so definitely 20 minutes, nailed that one. Would you rather hike a mountain or dive to a sunken ship? It's mountains all the time. That's what she'd love. And would you rather eat a bowl full of crickets, a bowl full of worms? Well, crickets, we've actually kind of eaten crickets when they're fried. They're not real ones. But anyway, that one, so clicking them off, doing pretty well. But that doesn't mean I hit on all the questions. I mean, there some of the deeper ones, I learned some things. In fact, here's a couple that I missed a little on. So share one event in each of your elementary school days, your middle school days, and your high school days. Just what do you remember about those? And so she would share about those. And then name three places that you've lived, one positive aspect about each of those. And I knew the places, but I didn't know, you know, what she would highlight of those different places. So it was neat, and I learned some things and missed some things for sure in terms of Kelly. And that, you know, that didn't bother me that I missed some things. I mean, it's not going to be the first time in our relationship where I missed it and at all. I mean, In August here, we're going to be married for 35 years, and so that's a blessing. But the things that really hurt when I miss are not information pieces. It's when I miss on the heart of Kelly. That's what hurts and continues to hurt. It's when I miss on what really makes Kelly tick. When I miss Kelly, and that's what really hurts. And Jesus doesn't want Philip to miss that about him. Don't, Philip, don't miss knowing me. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip?" Do we know Jesus? Not just about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? Jesus didn't want Philip to miss knowing him, and Jesus doesn't want us to miss knowing him as well. And that's part of the emphasis here that Jesus teaches on. You know, when you know me, Jesus is saying, you know the Father. You know, when you see me, you're seeing God. When you hear me, you're hearing God's words, and you're seeing God's works. And that's this emphasis that Jesus is saying. If you'd know me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, that you still don't know me? Everyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. You know, don't miss knowing me, Jesus is saying to Philip. And that is so important. I mean, that was one of Paul's one desires. That's what he wrote to the church in Philippi. He said, this is just one thing that I want. I want to know Jesus. Here's Philippians 3. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, I consider a loss for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of Christ. What's more, you know, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, whose for sake I've lost all things, and I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. That's, you can just hear Paul's passion. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Oswald Chambers, in one of his writing, writes this. He says, the initiative of the saint is not towards self-realization, but towards knowing Jesus. The spiritual saint never believes circumstances to be haphazard or thinks of his life as secular and sacred. He sees everything he is dumped down in as the means of securing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything that we are dumped down in is so that we would know Jesus. In fact, that's how Jesus defines eternal life, as knowing him. This is John 17. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's that important, knowing Jesus, that he defines eternal life as that. Knowing Jesus. That important. And knowing Jesus involves believing. That's what he says in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. You know, believe is what Jesus is teaching here. That believe that, you know, when we look at Jesus, you know, we're looking at God's expression. Believe that when we hear Jesus' words, we're hearing the words of God. Believe that, you know, Jesus is in God and God is in Jesus. And believing that, believing like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God was in Christ Jesus. He was reconciling us. It says reconciling the world to himself, not counting, you know, our trespasses against us, but entrusting us now with the message of reconciliation. You know, believing that, like it says in Hebrews, that Jesus is the exact representation of God, that he sustains all things. Jesus sustains all things by his words, and that Jesus has provided purification for our sins, and now he has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on heaven. That's believing. That's knowing Jesus. You know, knowing Jesus is believing. Look what in 1 John verse 18, that he has the closest relationship with the Father, and he makes him known. That's knowing Jesus, believing that. Believing that Jesus is the way, you know, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus, you know, is the life. That's important. Knowing Jesus involves believing who he is and you know what he's done. knowing the works. Did you see that? He said that, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And the greatest work of Christ is the cross. And he wants us to understand, you know, what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's when that purification that the Hebrew verse is talking about, that's when the reconciliation happened that we read about. That's when the way was established for us. And that's part of this believing and knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is believing this work, and it's that important. And that's why when the people that are gonna, the kids that are gonna be baptized today, one of the questions they're gonna be asked is, you know, have you decided to follow Jesus and to believe on him and the work that he did on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? I mean, that it's that important in terms of knowing Jesus and believing in him. Knowing Jesus, really knowing, not knowing about, but knowing Jesus. And then Jesus says some of this amazing things about works. He goes into our connection with his works. So let's start with verse 11. Jesus says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, you know, I will do it. Believe, you know, in me, and you will do the works that I do. Verse 12. We will do the works that Jesus does? Really? I mean, do we really do the works that Jesus does? Now, if in that we mean, you know, do we go to the cross and pay for the sins of the world? No way. We can't do that. If in that we mean that, you know, we're seated at the right hand of God and we have the name that is above all name, that our name, you know, every knee will bow and every, no way. We cannot do that work. So, what does Jesus mean? What is he saying in verse 12 when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And then he says, and greater works than these will he do. Greater works than, gee, what is that? Well, some people immediately go to the miracles. And I think of the miracles that Jesus does, and you know, are we able to be a part of the same works that Jesus has done? And I mean, here's some of the miracles in the Gospel of John that we've come across. In John chapter 2, Jesus turned this water into wine. In John chapter 5, he healed this paralytic. And in John chapter 6, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and a couple fish. In chapter 9, he returned the sight of this man that was born blind. In chapter 11, he raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead. I mean, those are great works. Is Jesus saying we will do greater works or similar works that, like those? And I suppose we could go to different scenes in the scriptures where, like in Acts chapter 3, where some of his disciples actually did participate in similar works. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're a part of God's healing of this paralytic, this man that was lame, and they got to see that, so we could point to that maybe for some of the disciples. In Acts chapter 20, there was a scene where Paul actually raises this young man that fell asleep when Paul was preaching in an upper room. Can you imagine that, falling asleep in a sermon? That's crazy. But this guy fell asleep and went down to the ground and fell from a a story window, and Paul comes, and through Jesus, you know, he sees this resurrection. And, I mean, that's, we could point that. We could also go to Acts chapter 19, where in God's scripture it says God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, and so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their disease left them, and evil spirits came out to them. And so, yeah, certainly there's some believers that actually got to experience some of those events and miracles and great works, participated in that. I mean, that we could point to that, but not everybody did. Now, I believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, gives every believer spiritual gifts, just like it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about some of the spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives. It says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and of the same Spirit, that he distributes them to each one just as he determines. You know, the spiritual gifts are real. They're present. They're vital in each of our lives. And so, yes, you know, is that what Jesus is talking about when it comes to participating in miracles and healings and the greater works? Well, for some, yeah. But Paul, even here in this teaching about spiritual gifts, says that, you know, not everybody has the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. Look what he says at the end of that chapter. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. Then he says, are all apostles? And the assumed answer is, well, no, not all are apostles. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No, they don't. Not all of us have those gifts. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Where Jesus said in verse 12 that everyone who believes in me will do the works that I do. Everyone. And then look how Paul ends, verse 31. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Interesting. Paul uses some of the same verbiage that Jesus used. You're going to do even greater. Whoa. Do you remember where Paul goes next in his letter? You know, what does Paul write about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then in chapter 13, he talks about love. And then in chapter 14, he talks about prophecy. And prophecy means a lot of things, but at the core of prophecy, it means pointing people to Jesus. Love, compassion, kindness, and pointing people to Jesus, Paul says, is even this greater gift. And so maybe we don't need to get caught up in all the miracles or even thinking about, you know, being greater and what's greatest. I mean, if you look at, let's go back to the verses there. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. I mean, even the works that we get to do when we join in with Jesus is because Jesus goes to the Father. You know, joining Jesus in his works, now that involves having conversations with people just like Jesus had, whose life has just, you know, been beat up and just messy, and seeking to point to the one that can bring living water into their life, just like he did with the woman at the well. Joining into the works of Jesus means, you know, going into those places where the low are and the downtrodden, the forgotten are and the displaced are, just like Jesus did on one day where he went to this pool, Bethesda, and we looked at that, and that's where all the paralyzed and the diseased were, the low, the forgotten, the displaced people were. That's what, you know, those are great works, joining Jesus and watching Jesus, you know, transform the paralytic, those that have been paralyzed in their spiritual life, those that have been paralyzed in their emotional life, those that have been paralyzed even physically, watching God transform. You know, what being joining Jesus' works in watching what he does even in young people's lives. I mean, the baptism service started because a couple of kids came and said, you know what, I think God is wanting me to be baptized. And we sat down and we began to talk to them and realized, you know, God is doing this work. And so we opened it up, and then now you have 10 people that say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And that's what's happening here. Not because of us. Those are great works, but not because of us, but because God, you know, Jesus goes to the Father. And I know when Jesus says, because I'm going to the Father, part of that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he'll use that same phrase when he talks about the Holy Spirit. So participating with the Holy Spirit is, you know, a great work that we get to be a part of. I think part of it also involves this intercession that Jesus is doing, and because he talks about, you know, our even our own intercession. You know, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I think he's talking about prayer. Prayer is one of the greater works that Jesus is talking about. You know, prayer doesn't just put us in a position to do great works. Prayer is the great work that Jesus is calling us to join him in. And so that's a piece there. Prayer doesn't equip us for great works. It is a great work. And so perhaps we don't get caught up in all the miracles. We don't even get caught up in, oh, is this greater than what Jesus did? Because it's not even about us. It's about the one who is the greatest, and that's Jesus. Loving. Compassion, pointing people to Jesus. And so I'm going to end with a couple of questions, and then we're going to invite those that are being baptized to come forward. And I realize that these questions don't even come close to Jesus' question, where Jesus just has this ability to ask a question that goes right into our heart. But maybe this can help us grow a little bit. Question number one is this. You know, and what you're involved in your life right now, is it helping you to know Jesus? And whatever you are involved in right now, is it helping you to know Jesus? And is it helping you to know Jesus at a pace that he desires? And if not, you know, what do you need to add or what do you need to subtract in your life to know Jesus? Know Jesus. And the second question is this, you know, in our prayer and in our intercession and in our asking, because that, I mean, that's how he ends this. You know, when you ask me anything, ask in my name. Are we asking for something where God will be glorified in his Son? Are we asking for something that involves God being glorified in Jesus? Because that's what he says. Look at verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he just gives us a phrase there to help us understand, what does it really mean to ask in Jesus' name? Well, part of what it means is that God gets glorified in Jesus in that request. So those are a couple of questions. I'm going to pray, and then after I'm done praying, those that are being baptized, come on forward. God, we are grateful and thankful for who you are. And Jesus, I am grateful and thankful for all that you use to help us to come to know you. I mean, you use people, you use your scripture. The Holy Spirit certainly is leading us, guiding us, and God, I'm thankful for these that are going to be coming forward and just where they are at in terms of following you. So help us. We don't want to just know about you. We want to know you, Jesus, in a real intimate way. in the way that you've designed us to know you. So I pray for that. And if there's anybody here that, you know, would say, I don't think I know Jesus, God, would you just prod and move their heart to make the steps in their life to get to know you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.